What we'll do is all the loose cash in the box back there will go to the candy efforts, okay? Let's go ahead and where's our scripture guy? Is he here? Let's go ahead and stand, and Brother Charles will bring a scripture after I open us in prayer. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this time together today. What a blessing it is to be in your house. Thank you for the fellowship we've been able to enjoy. And Lord, we look forward to the preaching of your word this afternoon. We love you, and we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Psalm 96, verses 1 through 3. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people.
Amen. Page number 2. Glory to his name. Dwelling in Beulah Land.
Earth and pain.
each day. I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. It's deeper, it's wider, it's stronger, it's higher.
Ephesians chapter number 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter number 4. And if we would all stand together, please. Ephesians 4 introduces to us the walk of the believer. And we're going to consider a mature walk. We started considering it a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to finish up that thought today with the means of maturity. How do we know that we've matured or are maturing toward the right direction, and where to do we mature? And so we'll look at that today, Ephesians chapter number 4, and we'll read verses number 12 through verse number 24. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're mainly going to focus this evening on verses 12 through 17, but we're going to consider today the means of maturity. Father, thank you for this day, and Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this afternoon, and I ask that you would please help us as we listen not only to your word, but that you would speak to us through the Holy Spirit, and that you'd show us things that we might need to change, that we might be more like your Son. And Lord, we love you and so thankful for your amazing grace, and I ask you would help us not to lose sight of that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. (Clears throat)
verse number 12, we mentioned about the edifying of the body of Christ. The edifying would be the building up of the body of Christ. And so we talked a number of weeks ago about that the church ought to be in the business of growing, not only deep, but also wide. That as each believer has a responsibility that they would grow spiritually to be more like Christ. And so thus we say that they would grow deeper, that they would be stronger Christians. Each individual believer has that responsibility. But then also the church has a responsibility to grow wider, that we would spread the gospel and that people would come in and they would hear the good news, and that they might be changed to be believers and then to become more like Jesus Christ as they grow in Him. And that's the idea of the church, that it would grow deep and wide. And we see some of that in the verses that we read today, verse number 14, of growing deeper, that we would henceforth be no more children, right? Tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And so as I think about Charlotte growing up and playing with her toys, and she'll play with one toy for about 4 seconds, and then she'll go and play with another one for about 4 seconds, and then she'll get out a new one and play with that one for 4 seconds. She's tossed to and fro by every wind of entertainment, if you will. And so she's carried about. But as believers, though, we have a responsibility that we would not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, every wind of false doctrine, that we would not be tossed to and fro by the sleight of men or the cunningness of false teachers who might come in, where we believe one thing for 4 seconds and then we go and believe another thing for 4 seconds, but that we would be set about what we believe in, that we would grow deeper as individuals and as a church, but also as we spread the word, that we would grow wider. And so we find that the church should grow deep and wide, but also we find this in the passage that we read today, and this is the means of maturity here, that we would not only grow deep and that we would grow wide, but that we would grow together, that we would grow together. Verse number 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. That idea of growing together. We see that it has two parts, that not only do we grow together, but we grow together in Christ as we find our unity in Jesus, and as we find our unity in the other things that Paul's mentioned here in verses 4 through 6 of chapter 4, we find our unity in those things, and we grow together as we grow together to Christ, but we also grow from Christ, right? He not only is He the head of the body, but He's also what we try to grow to. And so there's kind of a weird metaphor there that Paul uses, but it's the idea that not only do we grow from Him, but we grow to Him. And so because He is our goal, and He's the goal whereby we might grow unto, right? The measure of the fullness of Christ. You may recall that I received bad news that people stopped growing after they're 28. And I was hoping that on that last few days of my 28th year of life that I would grow a few inches, maybe even a foot. That would have been awesome. But as you can see, it didn't happen for me. It just didn't happen. Very disappointing. But the fact is that there's still time for the church to grow. There's still time for us to grow. We don't stop growing after our 28th year. We don't stop growing after we're in our 54th year, I think, of being a church. And we don't stop growing. We keep on growing until we all come into the unity of the knowledge of Him when we get to heaven and we are finally being perfected in our bodies. And so we see that we grow from Christ and we grow to Christ. We grow together. So how does this happen? How do we grow together? How do we come to the stature of the fullness of Christ? How do we measure up to where Christ wants us to be? We find four things this evening in our passage, our text that we read. First of all, growing together happens as we speak the truth in love. As we speak the truth in love one to another, and we won't spend a lot of time on this because we've covered it already, but as we speak to one another, as we might see need, as we're confronted with things in other people, and not to say that we don't have any responsibility to ourselves, right? Because we're supposed to be growing ourselves, growing deeper as believers. But as we see others that might be in need of some encouragement, some exhortation, that you would go to them and speak the truth to them, but not in a harsh or offensive way, that you would speak the truth in love. Half of the battle is convincing them that you love them, and the other half is telling them what they need to hear. And so speaking the truth in love, and in so doing, I think of there's a need for humility on our part. Right? I don't know about you. Maybe I'm alone in this, but I don't really necessarily like to be told that I'm wrong a bunch of times. Right? That's not my favorite thing. And so we need humility, because if we don't have humility, we'll just shut it off. And as much as they could speak the truth to us in love, if we don't have humility, we won't accept it. And so we need humility, and that's part of the walk of Christ. We talked about that in verses 2 and 3, and we find the example of the Lord Jesus Christ of the ultimate humility that he had on this earth, and he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So the need of believers is that we would put on humility, that we would be clothed with humility, whereby when someone speaks the truth to us in love, we might become more like Jesus Christ, and we might try to seek to become more like him. And as those things happen, as we accept in humility the truth that's spoken in love, then we can grow together, right? There's not a lot more that brings somebody together than working through a problem, right? The bond that is there that is stronger. When a bone breaks and they try to redo it, the spot that is brought together is stronger than it was before. Why? Because it had been broken, but now it was restored. And so as we speak the truth in love, a bond happens whereby we grow together and are fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. So number one, growing together happens as we speak the truth in love. But then also growing together happens as we intentionally connect with one another. Just as we intentionally connect with one another. It doesn't have to be a negative. It doesn't have to be a speaking the truth in love moment. It can just be as simple as making sure that everybody gets their hand shook. Right? Every person. I'm not always perfect at it, but I try. I try to shake every person's hand. Why? Because I want to connect. I want to connect with everybody to make sure that we're growing together. That's kind of the idea, actually, in verse number 16, where it says that they're joined together and compacted. It's the idea of being connected, right? The joints and the muscles and the bones, they're not all just free-floating inside of your skin, right? They're not. That'd be kind of weird, and right? It'd be a little awkward. But they're connected. Right, they're connected with tendons, and they're connected with skin tissue, and they're connected those ways. Why? And that's how the body stays the way it is, and that's how the body grows when we are intentionally connected. And so, just to encourage you this evening, check on people who are alone, check on people who are sitting by themselves. Make sure that they're all right. Make sure that they have a friend to sit with. Maybe they want to sit by themselves, and that's okay. But make sure that that's their choice. Make sure that nobody gets left behind. Introduce newcomers to other people. And introduce yourself to newcomers as well. Right? As somebody new walks through the door, introduce yourself. And then introduce them to somebody else. That way there's some connection. There's connection. And as that connection happens, then we can grow together as a body of believers. As the church at Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple, we can grow together. Being a hospitable church. A hospitable church, that's a Bible word, a hospitable church. Four times in the New Testament that word is mentioned, and two times it's used from Paul talking to Timothy by way of pastors, but also two times it's talking about the church in general. Just church members are supposed to be hospitable. It's not just the church staff's job to be hospitable, but it's every believer's job that you would connect with one another. And as you're connected, then what happens is that we grow together as a body believer. Joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. And so number one, growing together happens as we speak the truth in love. And number two, growing together happens as we intentionally connect to one another. And then number three, growing together is important because we are to be different than those around us. We're to be different than those around us. Look at verse number 17, if you would please. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Paul's idea here is that as he moves from this idea of connection, he goes into the idea that the believer's life is supposed to be different than those around him, than those around them. These Gentiles in the Ephesian church, and as well as the Jews, should have been significantly different than the Gentiles and those Jews who had not accepted Christ. They're supposed to be different from them in every area of their life. In every aspect of their life, they were supposed to be different, right? That's the idea, that you would walk not as other Gentiles walk. Because the fact is that the people around us don't really like to connect the way that we do. They just don't. The people in this world, if you don't connect with them right away, they'll write you off. It just happens. If there's even a slight bit of disagreement, game over. Relationship is done. Cut the connection, right? And so as Paul thinks about this being joined together and compacted, the idea is that we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be connected in a way that others aren't. Why? Because we have something that others don't, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can be connected and different. Look at the lifestyle of the Gentiles here in verse number 17. They walk in the vanity of their mind. It's an empty, selfish mindset. A selfish mindset, one that doesn't want to connect, one that is only looking out for himself or herself, one that doesn't care about other people. But Paul said here, walk not as other Gentiles walk. Don't have an empty, vain mind. Don't live in the vanity of your mind. Don't live a selfish life. Live a selfless life. Live a life that's for other people. Be intentional about connecting with other people. Don't be like the Gentiles who you live among. And verse number 18, we find this, that the Gentiles have no understanding or stability of doctrine, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And so we find that there's no understanding there, that the Gentiles don't understand the things of God. They don't. But a believer should understand the things of God. They should be growing deeper. They should be growing stronger as believers. Why? Because they're supposed to be different than the Gentiles are. They're supposed to have a different life. And there's kind of a contrast here in verse number 18 to verse number 14. The verse number 18, the Gentiles have their understanding darkened and they're alienated and they're ignorant. But verse number 14, Paul encourages that they would be no more children tossed to and fro. They're supposed to have understanding. They're not supposed to be ignorant. And so there's supposed to be a contrast there of your life. Between your life and the life of an unbeliever, there's supposed to be a difference there. An empty, selfish mind, no understanding or stability of doctrine. And then also the Gentiles are characterized by selfish, unrighteous desires and actions. Verse number 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work uncleanness with greediness. The idea giving yourself over is not just a periodic enjoyment of things that are wrong. Giving themselves over is like they just dive all the way in. That's their life. Their life is characterized entirely by lasciviousness or wickedness, and as well as uncleanness and greediness. That's their life. Anything that they want to do, that's what they're going to do. Anything that they feel, that's what they're going to feel. Anything that they want to think, that's what they're going to think. Why? Because they're selfish. And they have empty and vain minds. They have selfish minds. And so Paul here, he's saying this. Listen, you're supposed to be connected to one another. And you can grow. Growing together is important because not everybody has that connection. Not everybody is different than the Gentiles, but we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be different than the Gentiles or the unsaved or the unbelievers. And so, number one, growing together happens as we speak the truth in love. Number two, growing together happens as we intentionally connect one with another. Number three, growing together is important because we are to be different than those around us. And then number four, growing together is important because we are to be different than who we used to be. Who we used to be. Because we used to be selfish. We used to go back to chapter number 2. We're not going to re-preach it, but I just want to read it again. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the mind and of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Why should we grow together? Because we're not the same way that we used to be. We're supposed to be different than who we used to be. We used to be selfish people, right? Ephesians 2:3. We used to be selfish, living according to the desires of our flesh and of our mind. But if we're a believer, we're not supposed to live to the desires of our flesh and of our mind, but we're supposed to live to the desires of the Spirit and of the mind of Christ. Having this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, a mind of humility and a life of selflessness. That's the mind that we're supposed to have. That's the mind that Christ wants us to have, a mind of others. And so I want to encourage you this afternoon, are you others-minded? Are you others-minded? Because the temptation is to be like who we used to be. That's the temptation. We come in and we sit down in our chair, and we sit down until the service starts. And then we'll just stand up. We'll go through the order of the service. We'll sing the songs. We'll listen to the sermon. Maybe you'll say amen once in a while. And then as soon as that amen hits, as soon as they say you're dismissed, you're in your car. Right? But that's how we used to be. Selfish people. Not caring for other people. When we're more concerned about what's on our phone than what's on the mind of others. Right? We're supposed to be others-minded. And so I'd encourage you this afternoon that you would not be selfish as others are and as we used to be, but that you would grow together by intentionally connecting one with another. The means of maturity. A church grows together when the members are connected to each other and consecrated from the world. Growing together, the means of maturity. Father, thank you for this day. And Lord, I ask you to help us to be encouraged this afternoon, that you would help us to be others-minded. Father, I'm thankful that you were others-minded, and Lord, that you thought of us, and that we were on your mind when you were on the cross, and Lord, I thank you that you weren't selfish, and Lord, that you thought of others, and that you gave us an encouragement, an example, that we might be others-minded as well. Help us in this time of invitation that we'd surrender to what you want for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano begins to play, as we all stand to our feet, Brother Jared's going to sing number 308, I Surrender All. And we'll sing the first verse. If the Lord's spoken to you this afternoon, come and pray and do business with Him.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
Brother Zach comes and he's going to give some more announcements that are in the bulletin, but
also there's
a
white table,
table
in the back just as you exit that has a birthday card for one of our missionaries, Brother Clark, to missionary to Germany. And so if you have some time, if you would go back and sign that, we're going to be sending that over to him this week. And so just be sure.